Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome, everyone, to the weekly download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. We will spend about an hour here today listening to some fine radio programs. These programs are featured in the ninth hour of the Radio Theater Channel, and that's Monday through Friday. The first program we're going to hear tonight is Night Beat, and that was a late, kind of medium-late entry into old-time radio. Then it was new-time radio, of course. An attempt to make it more realistic and sort of changing the times. I think the post-war kind of influence on drama was coming into effect then. It's a pretty good program. We'll follow that by yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Many of you have probably heard that before. This is the detective that works for the insurance company, and he's out to solve those crimes and keep the prices down on your insurance, and that's a good thing for everybody, right? Okay, we're going to start off now with Night Beat.
Wheaties presents Night Beat. On stage tonight from Hollywood, Night Beat, another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Night Beat.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Chicago Star. Stories start in many different ways. This one began in the darkness of the human mind and ended in raging flame.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
There's been a lot of talk about Wheaties and Champions. But you know, really, anybody can eat Wheaties. Of course, a lot of Champions do. But so do a lot of other people, millions of them. Tomorrow morning, they'll shake the Wheaties into the bowl, pour on the milk, put on the fruit, and enjoy themselves. These millions of happy people have made Wheaties Americans' favorite whole wheat flakes. So even though they're called Breakfast of Champions, we want you to feel perfectly free to get Wheaties at the grocery tomorrow. Two packages, if you wish. They go pretty fast. Crisp, you know. A kind of nut-like taste to them. Wheaties. Have some.
Ever look at people as you pass them on the street and wonder what their lives are like, where they've been, where they're going, and what they'll do when they get there? Me, I'm a sucker for the guy who wears his heart on his sleeve with just the scars showing, or a pair of eyes that look out of a soul eaten away by loneliness. The old lady eating her dinner alone in a booth for four. The lone drinker in a plushy bar who toasts his reflections in the mirror and wishes that he was too drunk to see it. Sometimes the busiest street in the city can be the lonesomest spot in the world. And tonight it had seemed like that as I drove through the dark city. I was well into the warehouse district when I saw a flash. It was like an explosion, only there was no noise, no sound, just this flash and then flames. It was a three-story warehouse, the old wooden type, and the flames worked fast. I started past to find a box to turn on the alarm when I saw a man, and he was running into the fire. I stopped the car and took off after him. The only light in the building was from the fire, and the man was nowhere in sight.
Hey, you!
Here I was making like a regular stout-hearted Frank Merriwell. First one to a fire and no one to save. And then I heard him.
Corey! Corey!
I followed the sound of his voice. He was standing at the foot of some wooden steps, yelling his head off.
Corey! Hey, Corey!
Hey, you!
Hey, what are you doing?
Come on, Pop.
Huh?
Let's watch it from outside.
Let go of me.
Now, come on, now, come on.
Leave me alone. Let go of me.
Hey, come back here, you fool!
Go away! Leave me!
Pop, are you hurt?
My leg. I hit it when I fell.
Well, let's see if you can walk.
I can walk if you'll help me. I'll go with you, mister.
Yes, I figured you would. I half carried, half dragged the old man. The smoke was so strong that my lungs ached, and I felt lightheaded. Outside, a crowd had gathered. A line of policemen were keeping them back out of the fireman's way. One cop came over to us.
Hey, you guys, you work here?
He came in after me.
Who are you?
I'm Strongheart the Second, only don't let it get around.
How are you, Randy?
How are you?
Your old man's leg hurt?
It isn't broken, it's just banged up a bit.
You guys stay put. I'll get the ambulance boys over here.
Okay, we'll be here.
I'm not saying
that. You stay where you are.
I gotta get going.
What's the rush, Pop? Any good reason why you shouldn't wait around?
You mean, did I have anything to do with the fire?
Well, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Okay, nobody's accusing you. What's it all about? Why did you run in there after the fire started?
That's my business.
Well, you're going to have to answer questions. You might as well start with me.
Oh, get me out of here, mister. Get me home, and maybe I will.
I led him through the crowd into my car. I followed his directions through the dark streets. He seemed to be looking for something. He leaned forward, watching in the lights of the car, turned his head to peer at everyone we passed. And all the time he was silent. Finally, I broke the ice. Maybe I'd better know who you are,
Hey, I'm Ben Graham.
Mm-hmm. You said you were going to talk.
Yeah, it's my son, Tony.
Were you looking for him in the fire?
Tony went there earlier. When I saw the fire start, I thought he might still be in there.
And you ran in to find him?
Tony used to work there.
He used to?
Yeah, he was a night watchman there and several other warehouses. You see, he's not like other people. I was afraid they'd see him there.
Oh,
it's not what you think. He's not crazy. He stays inside himself, if you know what I mean. He don't like people. He sleeps in the daytime. He lives at night.
What happens with the jobs? Does he quit?
He was fired. Every time, fired.
Why?
He thinks it's because of the cane.
Well, he uses a cane?
Yeah, ever since he was a boy, he's touchy about it. One reason he doesn't like people.
Ben, why do you think he started the fire?
Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't say anything like that.
No, you didn't have to. It shows.
I don't know what to think.
There have been several warehouse fires around here recently.
Five. Less than a month.
Yeah. Are they the ones where Tony worked?
Some of them, but it's not only that.
But what else, Ben? Why are you afraid Tony started those fires?
Three out of five of them are. Man with a cane was seen coming out around the time of the fire, and I gotta find him.
Have you asked him about the fires?
Oh, I've tried it. We don't talk much. Oh, that's my place. It seems like we're strangers. When I mention fires, he slams out of the house.
Well, I'll talk to him, Ben, when we find him.
You mean I talk to you, mister? He's funny about that.
Well, we'll see. Hmm? I'll go in with you.
No, don't. You wait here. Don't come up there. I'll bring him out to you.
Ben Graham staggered up the short walk to his little shed. What was he hiding? What was he afraid for me to see? I heard him open the door without a key. The light switched on. After a few seconds, switched off, but Graham didn't come out. I waited a few minutes and then made my way to the darkened house. There was no sound from the inside. I called as I felt for the door.
Ben!
There was no answer. I found the knob. Before I could turn it, the door was yanked open.
I told you to wait. I told you to wait in the car.
Well, I saw the light go out. When you didn't come back, I thought something was wrong.
Come on, there's nothing wrong. Get back into the car. Tony's not here.
We gotta find him, Ben.
I know, before the police do.
But where?
Oh, we'll try some of the warehouses. That's where he hangs out.
Which ones? Are they near here?
Yeah, around.
Well, now, why don't we leave the car here and walk?
No. Get in.
What are you hiding, Ben? What do you want to get me away from?
You wanted to find out or not?
All right. Where to?
Block down and block over. Young and Wilson's warehouse.
You seem to know a lot about these warehouses yourself.
I've been working in them most of my life. That is, I used to.
Mm-hmm. This Young and Wilson, is that where the next fire is supposed to take place?
I hope not, mister. I hope not. Slow down. That's it ahead.
Building's dark.
The watchman's inside. Over here.
You do know your way around.
Here? What do you want?
Tony here?
Who wants him? Oh, you. Get away from that door. No Don't come around here, Graham.
Have you seen Tony?
No, he's not here. Now get moving.
What is all this?
You're a stranger around here, you'd know.
I'd know what?
About Ben. He's a bad luck omen. Anywhere he goes, trouble starts. Somebody gets hurt or a fire breaks out. Once a watchman was killed. There's always accidents. It's him.
What kind of superstition is that?
Maybe it's superstition to you, but not to us. All the watchmen know. Ask any of them. Now move on.
Well, what's that all about?
It's true what he says.
Oh, coincidence.
I'll call it any name you like. It happens. I can't help it. It just happens.
That's why you're not working now?
Oh, nobody will hire me. They all know. Sometimes they think up excuses, but mostly they're like him. They run me off.
You could get some other kind of work.
Oh, I've tried, but they ask me where I worked, and when they check, they find out they don't need me. Listen. Stand back. It's Kane.
Tony?
We'll soon see when he tears that corner.
What are you doing with a gun?
Keep out of the way.
You're not going to...
Shh, don't talk.
That's not a cane. That's a nightstick.
Policeman.
Hey, you! Over there!
He won't find me here.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute!
What's the matter with old Screwball?
With who?
Ben Graham.
Oh, you know him?
Sure. Everyone around here knows him. I'd rather have a black cat cross my path than Ben.
Why?
Wherever there's trouble, you'll find him. See the fire tonight?
Oh, yes. Why?
I'll bet he was there. Every time there's a fire, someone swears Ben was there. Hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was it the watchman had said? Somebody gets hurt or a fire breaks out? What about the fires where a man with a cane was always seen and another man who nobody wanted around? But why did Ben run when he saw the police? Why was he carrying a gun? I decided I wanted to see the Graham shack again. What was he hiding in that house? What was it he didn't want me to see? The little building was dark when I went up the walk. If either Tony or his father was there, he didn't want anyone to know about it. I knocked once before I turned the knob. I thought I heard a movement in the corner. Ben? Tony? Anybody here? I felt along the wall for a switch. There was a sound like the cry of a cat.
Oh. What do you want? Please answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I frightened you. I'm looking for Mr. Graham.
My husband or my son?
Both of them.
What is it? What's happened?
Oh, nothing's happened. I just wanted to see them.
There is something. I know there is.
No, it's nothing, really. Now, why don't you lock the door when I leave so no more bad dreams can come in, huh?
I can't lock the door. I can't move out of this bed.
Oh, you're paralyzed. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I wouldn't have laughed at you.
It's all right. I like to hear it. No one laughs here. Won't you sit down?
No, I can't stay. I've got to find Ben or Tony.
What have they done, mister?
Oh, they haven't done anything.
You're just like them. They won't tell me anything either. I lie here alone in the dark. Can't move. No one will tell me anything.
Well, I just wanted to give them a message.
No, you didn't. Don't try to fool me. Nobody wants them. Either of them.
I'm sorry I disturbed you, Mrs. Graham. Is there anything that I can do for you?
You can talk to me. Just talk to me. They don't talk, Ben and Tony. They're dark men, both of them.
Why do you say no one wants them? Has there been trouble?
There's always been trouble. What are they into now?
I don't know. I better go find them.
Is it the fires?
You know?
I've guessed. It is. It is the fire.
Now, don't upset yourself. Ben and Tony are all right.
They won't tell me. They won't talk about the fire. I ask them and they won't answer. But I know.
I tell you, they're all right. I just talked to your husband, to Ben. I thought he came here.
They don't come here. All these years I've laid here alone. They don't come here but to sleep and to eat.
Well, Ben was here a little while ago.
He turned off the light and waited in the dark. What did he want? What was he waiting for?
We were looking for Tony.
What has he done? I've got a right to know. I'm his mother.
Well, Ben thinks that Tony started the fires.
Tony? Tony started the fires! He did. Tony started the fires. fire.
General Mills is bringing you Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone. This is for people over 21. All you kids go get ready for bed or something, will you?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, why should the children have a corner on the Wheaties? Now, if they don't at your house, good. Because honest now, who works any harder than you? You need whole wheat, too. Whole wheat with the sun in it. Sure, good. Whole wheat nourishment. And Wheaties are about the nicest, flakiest, most delectable way of getting whole wheat nourishment that you ever saw. Now, you notice I don't call Wheaties breakfast food. Just breakfast food? Oh, never. Lunch food, Sunday night supper food, snack food for the off times like just before bed. Sure, you can have Wheaties any old time and get the sunny whole wheat just the same. Sugar them, cream them, strawberry them if you want to. Eat them any way you like them. But don't feel that just because you've gotten old enough to vote, you have to give up Wheaties. They're still America's favorite whole wheat flakes, just like they were when you were wearing pigtails and short pants. Okay, the kids can listen again now. That's Wheaties you're going to get tomorrow. Remember?
And now back to Night Beat and Randy Stone.
Yes, it was adding up, but it wasn't making sense. First, I drag a man out of a fire, a man who's carrying a gun. And now a frightened, paralyzed woman who wanted someone to listen. I could feel that tingling on the back of my neck as Martha Graham talked. She was terrified at the mention of fire. I sat in one of the chairs beside her bed and tried to calm her fear. She wanted to talk, and I couldn't stop her.
Tony started the fire. It burned our house. That's how I got like this. That's why Tony uses a cane. He was a little boy then. Tony loved matches. He liked to watch them burn.
Well, don't think about it now.
I think about it all the time. Sometimes I dream about it. Everything burning all around me, my clothes on fire, and Tony in the corner screaming. I can see it over and over.
Isn't it better if you don't talk about it, Mrs. Graham?
Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. That's all I hear. I want to talk. It's better than lying here alone, not able to move.
Now, don't excite yourself. Why don't you get some sleep?
All right. If you'll stay, I'll talk about something else.
You have any idea where Tony is?
In one of the warehouses. That's where he always is.
Well, I'd like to see him. Do you know which one?
What time is it?
Well, let me see. It's a little after 2. Why?
Then he's at the Holland warehouse, about 3 blocks from here. It's where he goes at 2.
I don't understand. You mean he goes to different warehouses at certain times?
Yeah. Tony makes a few dollars. The watchmen help him out. But he never talks to me.
Well, it's hard for all of us to talk sometimes. You say Tony will be at the Holland warehouse at 2.
Yeah. Tony tells me where he'll be. I don't worry if I know.
And Ben, will he be there too?
If he's looking for Tony, he will.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I must be going.
Will you do something for me, mister, before you go?
Well, sure. What is it?
Laugh for me. I just want to hear you laugh.
Laugh, she says. She hits me between the eyes and tells me to laugh. I stayed with Martha Graham a little longer, promised her I'd come back, and I set out to find the Holland warehouse. It was larger than the other buildings around it and stronger. It was made of cement and steel, and it towered above its wooden neighbors by several stories. I tried the front door, no luck. I rang the bell, I waited. No one came. I tried beating on the door. That didn't do any good either. I started to turn away, and then...
What do you want?
Who are you?
I'm the watchman here.
I thought the watchman stayed inside.
I just stepped around the corner for 2 o'clock coffee.
Oh?
Don't worry. The place is guarded. There's a fellow inside.
Who? Tony Graham?
Yeah. You know him?
Well, in a way. Is his father with him?
That jinx. I wouldn't let him near the place.
Oh, you too. Huh? Well, let's go in. I want to talk to Tony.
About what?
I'll tell him.
Come on.
Where's your light?
Got a flash here. Tony. 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 That's funny.
Well, it's a big building. He's probably on one of the other floors.
It shouldn't be. We punch a time clock here. This is the time we're supposed to check in on this floor.
Now, where is the clock?
Over by the stairs. Lights are there, too. It's not like Tony not to be here.
You mean you've left him here before?
Sure. He helps a lot of the guards. Kind of relieves them, like. We all pay him a little. That way he can have a job and his old man don't know it. Better with these lights.
Well, there's your light and there's your clock, but no Tony.
Can't understand it. Let's try upstairs. We'll take this freight elevator.
Are you in all the aisles here at least once during the night?
That'd be pretty hard to do with all those rows of boxes and crates. Hey, you don't think something's happened to him, do you?
I hope not.
I don't think he's up here. I don't know where he is. Listen.
Tony and Ben, behind those boxes, they're coming.
I tell you, I didn't have anything to do with these fires.
Oh, you'd say that. I knew you'd say that.
But I didn't. Why would I start these fires?
Because you're a firebug, that's why.
I'm not. You told me that all my life, but I'm not.
Ben.
Who's that?
What are you doing with that gun?
Stone, boy, you followed me.
What are you doing up here, Tony?
I came up here to punch the clock. He followed me up. Huh? He's going to kill me.
It's the only way.
There's always trouble where he is. I told you.
Shut up. It's not my fault, everything that happens. It's not my fault about my family either. Look at this. Me. Nobody give me a job, and Martha.
I know, Ben. I saw her.
I know all about us, don't you? Oh, but Tony. Well, there he is. A firebug.
What's that?
Fire! The building's on fire! You brought it, Ben Graham. I told you not to come here. I'm getting out.
Another fire, Tony.
I didn't start it. I've been up here with you.
I know you started it just like the others.
I didn't start them. Oh, listen to me, Paul. I didn't do it.
You have no proof he started them.
How many times did I stop you when you were a kid? You always liked to play with the fire and watch things burn.
All kids do. That doesn't prove I...
In our house, you set that on fire, too. Everything we had went up. We've never had anything since.
Haven't I been punished for that fire? Look at me, haven't I?
Yeah, but not for the others. You'll never do it again, never.
Put that gun down, Ben. You can't do that. That's murder.
He's got to be stopped. It's got to be.
But not that way. What if he didn't do it? What if you're wrong?
I can't be wrong. I know him.
You don't know him at all. You don't even know what he's been doing at night.
Oh, yes, I do. He goes from one warehouse to another. I've been following him. He's been in every one of those buildings just before they burned.
Every one of them?
You see, even you are beginning to believe.
The fire bell has stopped.
That means the watchman's turned in the alarm. It's automatic. The fire truck should be here soon.
The sooner the better. Look at the smoke has started to seep in. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
You're not getting out of here, Tony. I can't let you.
Listen, you can't do it, Ben. It's like a lynching. You can't be the judge and executioner, too.
I can't take any more. A monster the way she is and Tony like this. You know what they'll do to him. An asylum. I couldn't stand that. It's better this way.
Smoke, will you put that gun away, Ben?
Tony, I don't want to do it, but it's the only way.
There's one other way.
Stay away. I don't want to hurt you. Stay away.
I'm not much of a target with the smoke.
Stay away.
Give me the gun. Give me the gun. Give it to me. Grab the gun, Tony.
I got it.
All right, now, come on.
Let it in. Let it in now.
Come on.
Let go of my arm.
I said come on. Tony, show us the way out.
If I can, Mrs. Stone. If I can.
The room was full of smoke and the concrete floor was warm from the fire below. We worked our way to the elevator, but from the smoke and sparks growing up the shaft like a giant smokestack, we knew it was useless.
The stairway! Over here!
Bennett stopped struggling. He wanted to live, too. We followed Tony by the sound of his cane. He stopped before he reached the steps. Flames outlined the square of the stairwell.
Tony! Take us to the fire escape! Where is it?
The other side! Down this way!
Ben was coughing and gasping for breath. Once he stumbled, nearly fell. For a second time in one night, I was helping him out of a fire. Through the smoke, we saw the light of the red exit sign. We leaned against the door and we found it open. A policeman was on the landing.
I was coming after you. Watchman said you were here.
He helped us down to the street and away from the building.
You just took another one out. Over here, the firebug.
The firebug? Oh, no.
Ma, you're walking.
Oh, no.
Martha, it can't be.
Who is she?
The old man's wife.
But she can't walk. She's paralyzed.
What's it all about, Martha?
My men and those warehouses. They acted like I was already dead.
She was hurt in the fire a long time ago.
Oh.
You can walk better than me.
Nobody'll care. Oh,
Sure we do, Ma, sure.
Did you start those fires?
Yes, I started them. That's what they did to me. And after I was hurt, they left me alone. They let me lie there alone. First I got so I could talk, but you wouldn't talk to me.
I couldn't, Ma. Seeing you there like that, knowing it was my fault.
Nobody came in. All those years, nobody.
You can walk.
Then I got so I could walk.
When was that, Martha?
About a year ago. First, I thought I'd go out and see people. But I don't know anybody now.
Why didn't you tell us?
I was going to surprise you, Ben. But you didn't want me. You wouldn't stay around.
Don't you see it was because it hurt us to see you like that?
Well, when you look at me, you'd look away. So at night, I'd follow you. You didn't even look around. Then I got to understand. You didn't want me. It was the warehouses you wanted. I was jealous of those warehouses. Just like they were people, and I hated them.
Martha, no. Oh, no.
So one night I watched you both go into one of the buildings. And I was left outside alone. Just like I'd been so many years. I wanted to kill it. To destroy it.
Oh, Mom.
And when you came out, I went inside. There were some papers and things in the corner. I started a fire, and then I ran out.
Tony, I thought
then
that you...
Then I hid, and I watched, and fire trucks came, and people. I had to laugh. I'd brought all those people. They came because of me.
Yeah. You come with us, Mrs. Graham.
You... Where?
He'll take you to a hospital. There'll be people there.
People? People? Will they talk to me? Will they talk to me?
Why, sure they'll talk to you, Martha. They'll talk to you. Some story, huh? Brother, sometimes the night is even deeper than we think. A moral, too? Well, it seems to me it sticks out all over the place. The Graham's loneliness proved about as deadly as poison. Even more deadly. At least poison kills quickly. But there's an answer to loneliness, and it's so simple it chokes you. Loneliness is a prison that separates you from the world. And you can escape from that prison in only one way, by freeing another. Oh, yes, indeed. None but the lonely heart stone. Copy, boy.
You are listening to Nightbeat on the Wheaties Big Parade. Here's a hooray for the Reader's Digest. This hooray is sent up by the Wheaties people because the Reader's Digest has printed a very smart word or two on breakfast in their May issue. Most people don't eat enough breakfast, reports the Digest. Most people would feel better, look better, work better if they did. The Wheaties people suggest you try the Breakfast of Champions as the better part of a better breakfast and see just how true the Reader's Digest article is. Nightbeat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis and edited by Larry Marcus. Tonight's story was written by Joel Hunt, with music by Frank Worth. Others in tonight's cast were Sarah Selby, Paul McVeigh, Sam Edwards, Junius Matthews, and Frank Gerstle. Listen next week at this same time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness.
And this is your Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen also on Wednesday night to Brian Donlevy in Dangerous Assignment on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
Going to bake a pie sometime soon?
Make it with Crust Quick, the Betty Crocker pie crust mix. You know, it's a tender, flaky crust that's at the bottom of every delicious pie. Sure as you use Crust Quick. And so easy.
Just add water to Crust Quick.
Mmm, and what pie crust? Tender crust, tasty crust, rich, short, lovely crust, just like Betty Crocker makes. And you can make it.
Just add water to Crust Quick.
Crust Quick, the Betty Crocker pie crust mix. Nightbeat came to you from Hollywood. Portions transcribed. Stay tuned for the Treasury Bond Drive show on NBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, that makes it official. The NBC chimes. The program is over, but our program is only halfway over. Well, right now, before we get to Johnny Dollar, we're going to find out all about Aunt Hattie.
Gang, hundreds of you ask Command Performance what's happened to that old battle axe, Aunt Hattie. Aunt Hattie's an old-time character played as an occasional hobby by Cliff Arquette, a lad who's been shooting well under par in big-time radio ever since Vaudeville let him go. Anyway, Aunt Hattie's here tonight with her bird's nest bonnet, lace shawl, long black dress, high-button shoes, and jokes to match. Step right up, gentlemen, that sensational act presenting Cliff Arquette as Aunt Hattie.
Hello, can you hear me?
Well, Aunt Hattie, what's new?
After Mr. Hope, but Grandma just got her hair bobbed, and you know she doesn't look like an old lady anymore.
Well, what does she look like now?
She looks like an old man.
Well, tell me, Aunt Hattie, what have you been doing for excitement?
Oh, I've been dancing in one of those jitterbug contests.
You don't mean you're chasing around with men and going to dances?
Well, what's wrong with me?
You look like you're wearing Crosby's old clothes there. You're a little too old, Hattie. Why, any man could make a fool out of you in 10 minutes.
But boy, oh boy, those 10 minutes. Say, that was a real wing banger, wasn't it, Mr.
Yes,
Hope?
That was the joke of tomorrow, but not of today. But Hattie, how's your mother?
Oh, Mother got a new washing machine, but she don't like it. It just makes her awful tired.
Why, it's an all-electric washer. What makes her tired?
Well, when she takes a bath, makes her tired jumping over them paddles all the time.
Well, why doesn't she try sitting way down in the bottom of it?
Well, she tried that, but keeps knocking her hat off.
And your father, how is he, Aunt Hattie?
My father? Well, I want to tell you, I went home last night, Father was laying on the porch. He was D-R-U-N-K.
Your father was D-R-U-N-K?
Yes, but I was glad he was D-R-U-N-K.
Why?
For a minute, I thought he was D-E-A-D.
Oh, it's thick around here tonight. So high it tickles tonight.
You know about my father? Funny thing, Mr. Hope. Father sent his toupee down to the barber to have it trimmed.
Well, why didn't your father take his toupee down to the barber himself?
Well, gee whiz, he doesn't want the barber to know he's bald. Well, I gotta get in my car and go pick up Father right now.
Well, don't tell me you're still driving that old jalopy.
Oh, yes, the most horrible thing happened on my way down here.
Well, what happened?
Well, I was racing along Sunset Boulevard, just come along lickety-split. Fella steps off the curb and I run smack dab over him before I started to see what I was doing.
Well, Hattie, what did you do?
Well, I turned around and I hollered, "Hey, you, look out."
Well, what did the man do?
Raised up his head and he said, "What's the matter, you coming back?"
Thank you, Cliff Arquette. Take the net down and go home. Thank you.
And now it's time for Johnny Dollar. This is the Ellen Deer Matter from January 6th, 1957.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Pat McCracken, Johnny, Universal Adjustment.
Oh, hi, Pat. What's on your mind?
The sleek, lovely, beautiful Ellen Deer.
On the strength of that description, I'll take her.
And she's loaded. $325,000 worth of jewelry.
Hey, that girl needs a bodyguard. Sleep.
Yeah, Johnny. Needs a guard of some kind. Only she isn't a girl. She's a boat.
I've just lost my enthusiasm. What's the matter with the old tub?
That's what I want you to find out, Johnny.
That last crack suddenly got me interested again. Okay, Pat, I'll be right over.
Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Western Maritime and Property Insurance Company, Los Angeles, California. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Ellen Deere matter. Expense account item 190 cents, taxi from my apartment to the offices of Universal Adjustment Bureau in Hartford. Pat McCracken's usual smile was noticeably missing when I walked in on him.
Come in, Johnny, and sit down.
Thanks.
Oh, and you're to bill Western Maritime and Property on this one instead of us.
Okay, but how are you involved?
We handle all their claims that are of any size. Story. You ever hear of Randolph Berman?
I know of a jeweler down in New York.
That's the one. And if you know him, Johnny, you've been putting too much gravy in your expense account.
I said no of him.
Hmm.
Didn't he bring in the Star of Cape Town and the Kamandu Emerald?
That's right. Everybody seems to think he's a crook, and yet somehow he manages to handle some of the finest jewels in the world.
How could an honest man afford it?
Yeah. This time it's the Bettenhaus collection. It's out of Hungary.
Oh, yeah, I read about that. Only I thought somebody down in Mexico owned it.
Yeah, a fellow named Rigo Mariani, down in Guadalajara. He's the one who sold it to Randolph Berman.
Okay, now. Is this Ellen Deere you mentioned, Berman's wife?
No. Former wife. He's in about his fifth. All beautiful, dumb dolls. But more important, it's the name of his 72-foot motor cruiser. Mm-hmm. And the Bermans have been traveling around in it, down the coast, through the canal, along the coast of Central America, and so on. Anyhow, when he got word that the Bettenhaus collection could be had, he wasted no time in getting to Guadalajara.
And that's where Western Maritime and Property comes in.
Right. They had already written a policy on the boat for $52,000. Their main office in Los Angeles was close at hand, so he had them write the policy on the jewels.
Is that where Berman is now, in Los Angeles?
No. He's still in Mexico. Didn't want to move with those priceless rocks until he was certain of the insurance. And before Weston would write it, of course, they wanted the collection appraised.
Naturally. But who in Mexico?
Jacques Jean-Pierre, the famous gemologist, was right there in Guadalajara, you know, to look over the collection himself. Ah. So he made the appraisal. The policy has been issued. $325,000.
I still don't see anything wrong with the whole deal, Pat.
Well, there isn't anything wrong with it yet. But in spite of Berman's standing in the profession, his reputation, it isn't everything it might be.
Yeah, come to think of it, wasn't there a killing or two involved in this acquisition of the Star of Cape Town?
There have been several things like that. He's been involved in attempts to smuggle in some valuable pieces. He always managed somehow to come out smelling like a rose. Legally, perfectly clean, you understand?
But you still don't trust him?
Oh, no. And with his planning to carry that load of stuff around in his yacht.
Yeah, I see what you mean. If anything happened to those rocks or the boat, over $300,000 right out the window.
Exactly. Now, belatedly, Western is worried about it. And they'll pay good money to have you assuage their worries. You have a Mexican tourist card?
Sure, for my last fishing trip down there.
And I think you better go down and guard that collection until Berman gets it safely up into the States. He's considered quite the host. He'll probably be perfectly willing to have you aboard.
Now, this is the kind of assignment I like. Yachting in the Blue Pacific. But surely he hasn't got his boat parked in Guadalajara. That's over 100 miles inland.
No, it's at Mazatlan. And from what I've been able to learn, it's surrounded by armed guards day and night while he has some engine work done.
But as soon as that's finished, he'll head north to the States.
So he says. Got a branch office in Los Angeles. He'll probably deliver the collection there. I just want to be sure he gets there, Johnny.
Hmm? Okay, Pat. You can wire the boys at Weston that I'm on my way. Item 2, 191.40, plane fare and incidentals, Hartford to Mazatlan via Los Angeles. The first leg of the flight to L.A. was uneventful. Except for a good-looking young blonde from Santa Barbara, whom I promised to look up as soon as this case is... Well, that's not for the expense account. When we arrived at the Los Angeles International Airport, I learned that I'd have a three-quarter hour wait for my plane to Mazatlan. So I grabbed a magazine, that's item 3, 35 cents, when I heard my name being called on the PA system.
Johnny Dollar, report to Pan American Airways desk.
With a thought in mind that perhaps my little friend from the plane might have decided to stay over in L.A. Her name was Rita, by the way. I lost no time in getting over to the Pan Am desk.
Mr. Dollar?
Yeah?
Johnny Dollar?
That's right.
I'm Arthur Arthur, Western Maritime and Property Insurance Company.
Oh, yeah, how do, Mr. Arthur? Planning to go on down to Mazatlan with me?
No. Meet Monsieur Jacques Jean-Pierre.
Monsieur Dollar, I am honored.
How are you, Mr. Jean-Pierre?
This is the gentleman who appraised the Bettenhaus collection for us.
Oh, yes. I
so
am an expert.
So they can issue the policy on it to Mr. Berman.
Oh, yes.
Yes, he's done this sort of thing for us many times.
Oh, I don't know
now,
how many...
Now, I'm afraid that he's brought us rather bad news.
Something's already happened to the collection?
Well, not exactly. Not for the whole collection.
No, not the
well,
whole...
Please, that is, I'm not quite sure. What I mean is...
Yeah, just what do you mean, Mr. Arthur?
Perhaps I should explain to Monsieur Dollar, eh?
Well, I think somebody better.
Yes, you go ahead, Jean.
Yeah, very well.
And while you're doing it, I'll cancel the rest of Mr. Dollar's reservation to Mazatlan. Yes, I'll do that. Oh, Claire...
Oh, no, wait a minute. First, let me find out what this is all about.
Oui. Very well. Jacques here was in Guadalajara when the Bettenhaus collection became available for purchase.
Uh-huh. Yes, Monsieur Dollar. I had gone there in the hope that some of the pieces might be purchased separately.
So?
Alas, such was not the case. The Mariani firm decided to dispose of the collection only as a whole.
I see. Well, what's this bad news you have?
Ah, I am getting to
yes,
that.
You see, it's this way.
Please.
Well, then go ahead, Jacques.
Thank you. Monsieur Dollar, interested as I was, I looked over the collection very carefully, each individual piece.
Yeah, oh,
and you must
so.
Believe me, to an expert like myself, every facet of every gem has a character all its own. A precious stone is like a face to me, always to be remembered.
Yeah, well, go on, please.
I simply wish to make it clear to you, monsieur, that every item in the Bettenhaus collection is completely familiar to me.
Oh, it is?
As are many other important gems throughout the world. You know, each is like a friend.
And each stone in him is like a face to
you. Precisely. Always to be remembered.
Yes.
Allô.
Well,
The collection is purchased by Monsieur Randolph Berman.
Yes, Mr. Berman.
Please. He wishes to insure it in Monsieur Arthur's company.
Yeah, I know all that.
Well, Monsieur Arthur requests by telephone that I appraise it.
$325,000.
Ah, then you know.
I know.
So I stay at Guadalajara a few days to wait Monsieur Arthur's check for my service.
Yes. You want to be sure the
please. I visit some of my old friends among the jewel setters. And then, on the third day, what do you think happens?
You tell me.
Johnny, this is it. In the shop...
No, please, yeah. Monsieur Arthur. In the shop of my friend Garcia Hernandez, I watch him work on the mound for a beautiful diamond. And suddenly, I see that the stone is an old friend.
One from the Bettenhaus collection?
Ah, oui. The Kalibach diamond that was supposedly in the possession of Monsieur Berman.
You're sure of the identity of that stone, Mr. Jean-Pierre?
Oh, please. As I told you, monsieur, a precious stone to
yeah,
me...
Yeah, it's like a face to you. So what you figure, Arthur, is that you've insured a boatload of $300,000 worth of gems on the way to the USA, and maybe they're not on board.
Exactly. Unless, of course...
Mr. Jean-Pierre, did you tell Mr. Berman about this one stone?
Oh, I went immediately to Mazatlan, where I knew he had his boat, the LMD.
Well, what did he say?
Alas, he had sailed away.
Did you learn his destination?
Oh, yes.
Los Angeles, Johnny, right here. He has a branch office.
Well, has he had time to get here yet?
I don't think so.
Have you tried radioing to his yacht?
No. I've done nothing. You see, I didn't learn about this until Mr. Jean-Pierre arrived just a few hours ago.
Yes, I came up in the aeroplane, the better to arrive and speak with Monsieur Arthur before Monsieur Berman would arrive.
Do you know where Berman plans to dock his boat?
Well,
Probably the port in San Pedro, if he's coming here. But who can be sure? Usually on vacation trips, he docks down the coast of Balboa, the yacht club. Or, who knows, he might even...
Yeah. He might have no intention of coming up to the States at all. He might not even have the jewels with him. Arthur, do you know where his branch office is?
Oh, yes. It's in Los Angeles. Well, actually, it's in Beverly Hills.
Got a car?
Yeah.
Then let's go. Though he couldn't quite put his finger on it, Arthur was convinced that Randolph Berman was up to something and that his insurance company was going to have to take the rap. On the way into Berman's Beverly Hills office, we dropped Jean-Pierre at the Beverly Hilton and told him to sit tight in case we needed him again. Berman's office was in a nice modern building on South Beverly Drive, tastefully furnished with pictures of various famous jewels on the walls. but with nothing of particular value in evidence. However, I did notice that one wall held a built-in vault big enough for a reasonably sized bank. We were approached by a hand-rubbing, obsequious little character dressed in striped pants and cutaway coat and wearing thick glasses.
Good morning, gentlemen. Is there any way I may be of service to you?
Yeah, I think there is. Are you
Mr. Arthur, forgive me. I didn't recognize you for a moment.
Mr. Corello, this is Mr. Johnny Dollar.
Hi.
How do you do? Is there something I may show you, Mr. Dollar? Some little bauble, perhaps, for a charming lady?
Well, not at the moment, Mr. Corello.
Oh. Oh, Mr. Arthur, there's no reason to mail this to you. Let me see now. Oh, yes, here it is. Here is a request for slight revision of the policy on the Bettenhouse collection.
Oh? What's this?
Well, the wire was sent by Mr. Berman just before he embarked for Mazatland. I was going to put it into letter form to be more
What's
proper.
What's it say?
But...
Well, now here, I'll read this. Please request Arthur revise Bettenhouse policy. Exclude Calabar Diamond. Value 4,000, which I have sold private party in Guadalajara. Oh, well, we kind of guessed wrong, didn't we, Johnny?
Mr. Corello.
Yes.
Has Mr. Berman wired you whether he's coming here?
Oh, of course he is, with that collection.
When? When is he going to arrive?
Well, his lovely yacht, the Elendia, should reach San Pedro Harbor late tonight. But that's what he wired me, and I intend to meet him there.
Then I'm sure you won't mind if I go with you.
Oh?
Mr. Dollar is a special investigator.
Investigator?
Well, actually, I'm here just to help Mr. Berman protect that collection.
Oh, excellent. Then you can arrange for the police escort. Yes, and alert the harbor police to guard the Elendia, as Mr. Berman requested.
Did he request that?
Oh, indeed.
But apparently he hasn't been worried about anything happening to the collection while he's at sea.
At sea? Oh, surely you don't mean pirates or anything like that in this modern day and age.
You know something? At this point, I'm not quite sure what I mean, or even why I'm here.
Well, of course... well...
Well, of course what, Arthur?
Oh, excuse me while I answer that.
Well, I mean...
Berman Jewel.
That is...
What?
Well, at least I'll feel better when the stuff is here in the vault.
Wait a minute. Oh, no.
Corello at the phone paled visibly, then gasped and clutched the back of a chair for support as he listened on the phone. His jaw dropped, his eyes widened, and he shook his head once or twice in horrified disbelief. Finally, slowly, he hung up and came unsteadily toward us.
Mr. Corello.
Yeah, what is it, Mr. Corello?
The Coast Guard.
Yes?
They said the Elendir, the yacht.
Yes?
Sunk.
What?
In 600 feet of water. In the outer channel.
Act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in just a moment. Democracy. What has it to do with money, the medium of exchange of mankind? A couple of thousand years ago, it was said that money alone sets the world in motion. That's one way of saying that money and economy are virtually one and the same thing. The economy of a nation depends on its commerce. Commerce depends on manufacturing and services. It has been proven that those nations which practice democracy have the greatest economics. That means money. More money for more people, and a greater freedom of opportunity to earn a higher standard of living. That's why democracy provides mankind with its richest legacy of freedom.
Now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Elendir Matter.
Expense account item 4, $7 even for a fast taxi ride to Coast Guard headquarters in San Pedro, which is really the port of Los Angeles. By dint of elbowing my way in, I got directly to Captain Barney Thorson.
I'm afraid you got only half the story, Mr. Dollar.
All I know, Captain, is that the Elendir went down in some 600 feet of water in the outer channel. Total loss.
That's correct. However, what you don't know is that the passengers, Mr. and Mrs. Berman, and the crew were picked up and brought in here.
Oh?
Outside of a little soaking and a little scare, they were perfectly all right. You see, the Elendir had apparently had some engine trouble before she left Mazatlan.
Yes, so I understand.
Mexican authorities, with whom we fully cooperate, notified us we'd better keep an eye out for her. So when she reached the channel, we weren't surprised to get a radio call from her asking us to stand by, that Universal joint was kicking up.
Is that what happened?
By the time one of our cutters got within hailing distance, she was on the way down. That propeller shaft had whipped loose, torn through the hull, and the Ellen Dear was sinking fast. Ask me, that boat was overpowered, Dolly.
How do you mean?
Well, it must have been, because sheer torque tore the whole engine loose from its mountings, and it plowed through the bottom along with everything else on board that was heavy. It was a big safe, for instance, anchored amidships.
There was a what?
A safe, you know, a small, heavy steel vault.
Yeah, I know. That went down, too?
Yeah, with the engine. It was all our boys could do to keep the owner from diving over after it. It was crying like a baby. You'd think he'd had the crown jewels in it.
Maybe you're not too wrong at that.
What?
Not the crown jewels, perhaps, but a collection worth something over 300 grand. Now, what about salvage?
Salvage operations in 600 feet of water in that channel?
Oh, yeah.
No, Dolly. Salvage, even if it were possible, would cost a couple of times the worth of that stuff, at least.
The only passengers were the Bermans, huh?
That's right. Crew of three.
And they weren't able to save anything?
Nothing. Not of any consequence, that is. One of the crew didn't even have his shoes and shirt on.
What about Berman and his wife?
It's funny what people will do in an emergency sometimes.
What do you mean?
Well, you've heard about the man whose house catches fire. He gets panicky, throws all the china and the glassware out the window, and carries out the mattress.
What are you getting at, Captain?
The only thing Berman saved in his excitement was two beat-up old hats and a fishing rod.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
And all his wife brought along was a handful of nylon stockings. She was hanging on to him for dear life. Oh, yeah, a big hat box with an evening dress half hanging out of it.
And that's all?
That's all. Hey, you know, that Mrs. Berman's quite a dish. Not too bright, but a real looker.
Where are they now, Captain?
They're headed for Beverly Hills. Beverly Wilshire was the hotel, I think. In any event, Dollar, I'm afraid your company is going to have a big, fat claim to pay.
On the yacht, yes.
What's that mean?
What do you think? Item 5-320, long-distance call to the police in Mazatlan. I wanted to be sure that the Bettenhaus collection had been on board the Ellen Dear when she left port down there. Inspector Romulo assured me it had, that he'd checked the safe on the boat himself before allowing it to sail. Furthermore, he had insisted his own maritime service keep tabs on it up to the point where it made contact with the U.S. Coast Guard. In other words, the loot couldn't very well have been passed to someone else at sea. Item 6-580, cab fare to Beverly Hills, where I dropped in at Berman's office.
No, Mr. Dollar, he and Mrs. Berman are at the Beverly Wilshire. I'm sure you understand it's been necessary for them to buy a lot of clothes and things.
Yeah, but he will come here.
Oh, yes, indeed. From his last phone call, I'd say he'll be here within the hour.
All right, then I'll come back. Please ask him to stick around and wait for me if he doesn't mind.
Of course, Mr. Dollar, I shall be glad to. Oh, incidentally, he has had me phone Mr. Arthur and ask that claim forms for both the Bettenhaus collection and the loss of the cruiser be brought here to the office just as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I'd figured as much. Berman wasn't wasting any time. Oh, I know there still wasn't any concrete evidence that Berman was trying to pull a fast one. Ostensibly, the only reason for my trip out here was to watch over that fabulous jewel collection. A lot of good I'd been. He'd lost the collection and his boat, and the company'd have to pay. Then a wild idea hit me. I suddenly remembered something that had happened months ago. Last July, to be exact, when a big passenger liner, the Andrea Doria, had sunk off the Atlantic coast. According to the papers, when the survivors were brought into the port, the usual customs inspection was waived. And it occurred to me at the time that every one of those people could have easily smuggled in anything he could carry or conceal in his clothing. I'm not saying it did happen, I'm sure it didn't, but it could have. And if such an idea occurred to me, why not to a man like Berman, who was already pretty well known for his tricks to evade customs? Item 6-20, phone call to the Coast Guard and Captain Thorson.
Thorson speaking.
Johnny Dollar, Captain, answer me just one question, will you?
Sure, what?
When you brought them in, were the Bermans required to pass through customs?
Well, no, of course not. There'd hardly be any reason to...
Thank you very much. Item 7, 10 cents, another call. This time to Arthur Arthur at Western Maritime and Property Insurance.
You caught me in the nick of time, Johnny. I was just walking out the door.
On your way to Berman's office?
Why, yes.
With a handful of claims forms?
Yes.
Now listen, get there as fast as you can. Get there ahead of him.
What?
So that you can see if he brings anything into the office, like the Bettenhaus collection.
What?
Though I doubt if he'd be that foolish.
Foolish or not, how could he, Johnny? That collection, unfortunately,
He's at the bottom of the ocean.
Listen to me. Keep him there. Maybe on the pretext of having to wait for me. Any reason you can think of.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Just hold him until I get there, understand?
Very well, Johnny. But what are you going to do?
Arthur, I may have to break in and rob a hotel room. I went out and stationed myself across the street from the Beverly Wilshire. 5 minutes later, I saw Randolph Berman walk out the front door and head east on Wilshire Boulevard in the direction of his office on Beverly Drive. I waited a few minutes to make sure he didn't turn back, then entered the hotel. At the desk, I learned the number of Berman's suite on the 9th floor. Break in? It would have taken a battering ram. So I tried knocking.
All right. You don't have to bust down the door. What's the matter? You forget your key and... No. Get out of here, buddy. Randy said not to let anybody in. He's out buying us clothes.
Oh, he'd tell you to let me in, baby.
Peggy, who are you?
Hernandez sent me up here from Guadalajara.
Oh, well, then come in. Oh, you are in.
Yeah.
Well, have a drink, then.
No, thanks.
A girl's entitled to a couple of drinks after that dousing in the ocean, and you might as well... What about Hernandez?
Your husband sold him the wrong stone from that collection.
Sold? Oh, he gave it to him.
Oh, then you know about it.
Well, sure. So he could make a legit-looking change in the insurance and convince everybody he was on the up and... You sure you're from Hernandez?
You kidding? How else would I know about the whole deal?
I don't know. Hey, Randy said not to let anybody in here or he'd kill me. Dumb blonde, he called me.
You? A smart, beautiful girl like you?
Oh, hey, you're okay. My name's Vi. Come on, let's have a drink.
No, thanks. Listen, Vi. I've got to get the right stone from that collection, the caliber diamond. Then I'll leave this one I've got in my pocket here.
Which one you got? Let me see it.
Oh, no, only Mr. Berman. And only when he gives me the calibre.
Well, which one you got there, huh?
Never mind. I'll show it to Mr. Berman.
I just want to see it.
Not until I get the calibre from the collection. So, if he isn't here, if he's taking it to the office, I'll just...
You think he's crazy? Let everybody know he... Let me see the one you have, huh?
Look, I just told you. Anyway, how do I know where I can trust you? I didn't even see you in Guadalajara.
Oh, now you sound like Randy. Dumb blonde, he said. Keep the door locked. But I let the bellboy in with the drinks, and I let you in, didn't I? Well, let me see the one you got. Will you, if I get you the other one?
From the hat box that didn't have to go through customs?
How did you know? Hey, you're a cutie. I bet you read about the Andrew Dorsey, just like Randy did. Come on, now let's talk.
Where is the hat box, Vi?
Now, wait a minute. Maybe I am dumb. Who did you say you are?
Where's the hat box?
No, I won't tell you. You get out of here.
Now, without the collection, Vi.
No, you can't. Randy would kill me. He'd kill me if he even knew I let you in here. Who are you?
Johnny Dollar, insurance investigator.
Oh, please, Johnny, get out of here.
The stuff in the bedroom?
You can't go in there. I mean it. He'd kill me.
Sorry, but that's your worry.
Oh, no. Stop it or I'll set your eyes out.
Hey,
no, you
pull in those claws, baby.
No, you...
Well, I hate to do this, but...
No, help! Help!
Yeah, that's right. Get the manager up here. Get the police up here.
Police? No.
Oh, yes. Then you'd really be in trouble. You'd be better off if Berman tried to kill you. Now, where's the stuff?
It's in the closet, on the floor, in the hat box.
Thanks. Oh, well. Just a handful, but worth a fortune. Well. Oh, now, wait a minute, girl. Put down that bottle.
I gotta stop you. He'd kill me, don't you understand? Just for letting you in here. You don't know him.
Look, baby, you're in this thing deep enough as it is. Don't try to make it any worse for yourself.
But when he find out that I... Listen.
Please, come back.
And I open up. And my hands full.
What'll I do? Where'll I go?
Right here, behind this closet door. Quick.
Ah!
Johnny,
just stay there. Hang on to that bottle and think over what I told you about getting in deeper.
Hi, where'd you get these drinks? You got somebody in here. Bellboy? Hi, you half-witted bird brain. I told...
Who are you?
The name is Dollar, Mr. Berman.
Insurance Dick?
I just dropped by to pick up the Bettenhaus collection.
Put it down, Dollar. I'm a good shot with this thing.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be the first time you killed over a handful of jewelry, would it?
That's right. Won't be the last. But you'll never know about it. Now, where's Vi?
How should I know?
She let you in here? I'll murder that dizzy blonde.
That dizzy blonde is a lot smarter than you think.
Where is she? What do you mean?
By helping me, she has a chance of getting out of this mess you've involved her in, of getting out clean.
That dirty two-timing... Dollar, I'm going to kill you.
You'd even like to involve her in that, too, wouldn't you?
Thanks for the idea. I'll make it look like she killed
you. Oh, no, you...
Nice work with that bottle, Vi. Glad he missed you.
Please. You won't let him.
No, no, don't worry, baby. He won't bother anybody. Not for a long, long time. Item 8, $245 even. Incidentals during a couple of days of relaxation under the California sun and transportation back to Hartford. Expense account total, $453.95. Remarks? By way of getting off as easily as possible, Vi sang like a canary, and incidentally cleared up a couple of other of his shady deals. Result? By the time his prison term runs out, he'll be too long dead to collect the insurance on his yacht. End of remarks, end of report. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, the DeSalle matter. And I promise you a double-barrel thrill in it. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote tonight's story. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, Lawrence Dobkin, Howard McNear, Jay Novello, Jack Edwards, Barney Phillips, and Raymond Burr. Musical supervision is by Amerigo Marino. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Dan Coverley speaking.
Johnny Dollar has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.